G'day, you filthy backbone.
G'day, mate.
How are you, you sicko?
Good.
Yeah, you're good. Looking hot. You got your pinstripe suit there.
Yeah,
your
mate.
Purple tie. Looking strong, mate.
Got to run a pen. Got to run a bit of Chuck Bass purple as well, just for the,
yeah,
you know, the gossip.
Chuck Bassy gossip girl vibes.
Gossip girl aficionados amongst you. But, hey, thanks for listening to the podcast again. I know that we said we were going to be more consistent.
Now, this time we have a serious reason as to which we didn't actually release last week's.
Serious?
Well, to be fair, I was away.
Okay.
And we tried to do a far away episode.
With limited success.
Limited success.
Steve Jobs fucked up, basically.
Yeah,
it's Steve Jobs' fault.
So I was running the old AirPods there, which died out halfway through the podcast. And I conveniently put them back in my case, but somehow my phone was still connected to the AirPods.
Mm.
So my audio essentially died from 15 minutes onwards, which is why I think it's only right if we just pop in that segment whilst they still work.
So, yeah, so that was meant to be uploaded on Friday. And I think in that episode we discussed that all new Clem's Wine Corner episodes will be Friday, but this one's going to be today just because we owe you one.
Yeah, exactly.
And there'll be another one on Friday. So great
exactly.
week
yeah,
to
yeah,
be a Clem's Wine Corner fan.
Two podcasts in 1 week. But how about we just leave you with some sort of, I guess, good sounds from last week.
Yeah, so this is a wine tasting that happened, and actually the room
ago.
Next door to the one we're in now.
Four days ago.
4 days, correct. Four?
Yes, you'd say.
4 days, yeah.
Yeah, 4 days ago.
There you go. So this is the wine review, and then you'll join us after the wine review. Right, okay, so we're tasting here a Lebosq, L-E-B-O-S-Q, Vin de France.
Oh. So
I like how they've gone with two French words and then they've written France.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what that wine actually tells you from Vin de France. So normally, and this is going to be a bit educational, so the listeners might completely tune out of this segment, but an AOC is normally the highest grade of wine in France, and it means it's from a particular region and it's got to follow a certain number of guidelines. Then you have another sort of in between. And then in the bottom tier, you have Vin de France, which means it's not following any rules. It's kind of up to the winemaker.
Yeah.
Not usually considered the best, but in this case, it could be good. So give us a taste, mate.
Something that just says Vin de France, it doesn't inspire confidence. Do you know what I mean?
I see what you mean. But give it a go. Give it a go, mate. Give it a bit of a swirl
it's
and
not
a smell.
Like, you know, when you see Swiss made at the bottom of your watch dial.
No, yeah, it's a bit different.
Very different vibe to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just reading the back here, and I won't read the entire description, but the last sentence is a fruity wine, smooth and easy to drink.
Oh, well, it looks like a sesher.
It's going to be a session one. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I'll talk you through the color. I mean, you're on the Zoom there, mate. What would you call that color? Red?
Yeah, red. It's a red wine.
A little bit cherry-ish. You got a... Bouquet's not bad. Meaty. Yeah, kind of a meaty nose, like Hoity J, you know.
Sort of massive honker.
A little bit of licorice. Yeah, I'm trying to get my nose as close to it as possible.
It's quite difficult with the size of your honker. Get it through the glass, mate.
Yeah, I don't want to penetrate too much. All right, here we go. I'm going to get it on the palate.
How's it taste? Not good.
Oh.
I can see by your facial expressions that this is not an astounding wine.
Thick. It's thick, which isn't like... I don't want to describe my red wine as thick. I don't know. The right red. Hang on, let me just have another go.
Yeah, your face doesn't promote this very well.
You know, the flavor's actually not that bad, but the texture's honestly really weird.
Mm.
Maybe it's me, but it feels like, you know, when you, you know, those drinks you get in Sainsbury's, like the
cheap wines,
the milky kind of milkshake, milkshake drinks.
Yeah.
And you taste, and it's just a little like the viscosity of it is just a little too thick for your liking. And you
it's
less like a drink and it almost feels like a soup.
Yeah. A chocolatey soup.
I mean, there's a bit of that to this, which makes no sense.
Sort of a high viscosity.
Yeah, it's a strange viscosity.
What a word.
It's one of my favourite words, I have to be honest. Viscosity.
It's like barbunctious effervescence for me.
Yeah, nice. I like Tomfoolery as well.
Tomfoolery, great one.
Cattywampus, that's another, that's in my top 10.
Cattywampus.
Sure. Cattywampus, if it's gone just a little bit askew, like if the painting over there was just ajar, there you go, oh, that's, is that hanging a bit cattywampus there?
What a great word.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
that's going straight.
Maybe we'll come back to this.
Oh, yeah, big time. We'll have to do like a little sort of word segment.
Here we go. Wine Corner Word of the Week.
Word of the Week. That could be a great segment. Well, I mean, it needs to replace our sort of racing segment that will pretty much end in...
That's true. This could just become a literature podcast in the off-season.
I mean, I've never thought of myself as Shakespearean per se, but, you know...
That's, yes, you have.
I have, actually, yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's even a segment in this podcast of us waffling on about how we used to hang out with Shakespeare back in the day.
Actually,
anyway,
there is.
A previous episode.
Yeah, yeah, no, indeed.
This wine, let me just get it one more hone.
Jesus. Rough day?
Actually going real good, eh? But I just needed to, I needed to figure out a number. It's a 3.1.
3.1. Oof, shocker.
Yep, for Le Bosque, 2021, 12% alcohol. Yeah.
Sorry.
Got that done, huh? And you're joining us after the wine review. Hope you enjoyed that.
Now, hopefully you've enjoyed the... I think it was a
Le Bosque.
Wine.
It was called Le Bosque. It was, it was shit.
It was not good.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, one of our many blunders.
It tasted like a red wine milkshake, or it had the viscosity of a red wine milkshake.
That's the one I remember now. Mm. You know, usually I don't remember about what I'm talking to about 5 minutes before, so...
No, well, that's good progress from you,
come
mate.
Back. It's come back to me.
Good shit.
How about we talk about some racing?
Let's get straight on. Oh, this is efficient. This is fantastic. I like this.
We don't need to, eh?
All right. Okay.
We've got a meeting in 15 minutes.
We do have a meeting in 15 minutes. Right. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start at the bottom or the top?
Oh, I can start anywhere you want.
I know you can. All right, let's start at the top of Formula One. Let's go to the bottom, where this podcast is going as well. Straight to the bottom. Formula 3? No, we don't do Formula 3.
Formula 3 news, really. It's been a bit bleak since the end of season.
IndyCar, we discussed the thermal test at very minimal detail last week. It happened. As far as we can tell, nobody crashed. We have confirmation that Logan Sargeant was there.
Yeah, indeed, in the Meyer Shank.
And Hunter McIlroy was there.
And Hunter McIlroy, indeed.
In the Dale Coyne.
So, look.
That's the...
Potential drivers for the 2025 season.
Nothing. It's still a full house, man. Like, genuinely, where is the seat?
Where is the seat?
Is there... Like, where is a seat in IndyCar? If I said to you I've got 10 mil, where do I go?
Dale. That's the only place left. I reckon.
Yeah.
So...
Do you reckon Dale Coyne might just turn into, like, the arrive and drive shop again? It was basically a hire card organisation as a race team. That team had so many different drivers last year.
Oh, well, I'm going to stay away from this one in particular, but, it's true that quite a few drivers on the grid for them last year, including my teammate, Luca Giotto.
Word on the street is Dale's got my number.
I believe he probably does. He's probably called you. So obviously looking ahead, IndyCar is going to be a great season next year.
Are we
looking for one, two, three?
When it eventually happens. We were going to discuss that on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. Like, to be fair, how good is it to be a Formula IndyCar driver?
Great.
It's a part-time job.
It is a
part-time job. Let's be honest.
You
it's
have a
part-time
6 month break
job.
Off.
Yeah.
I guess Formula One, you know, you've got 24 race weekends, very intense.
Mm.
You've got your 3 week break around August.
Yeah.
And then you've got 3 months off.
Yeah.
Which essentially you're training and doing a bit of testing with the teams here and there and trying to do a bit of sim stuff. IndyCar, you finish in September and you're starting in March.
In any salaried role, right? Because a lot of the IndyCar drivers, especially when we've had them on the podcast, love to come over. Oh, yeah, Indy, man. Like, it's quiet life. Like, it's all right. I like, you know, getting into my training. But they all kind of dance around the point that they hate it there, right? So, but if you, any other salaried role in London, anywhere,
in
right?
the history of
if
the world.
If you said to them, look, you've got to spend 8 months of the year, not even that, 7 months of the year in Indianapolis, traveling around the States still.
Yeah.
And then for the other 5 months, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. As long as you don't go mountain biking or skydiving, you know, do it.
Oh, I do love a skydive.
Fine, a skydive here and there.
Get a clause in there.
But fill your boots up. You can do whatever the fuck you want. It's none of our business what you do.
No, for sure. And
how good is that? Who wouldn't take that job? Even at like a graduate level, like 30 grand a year or something. If you're going like, right, I work really hard for 7 months and I just fuck off for five. And they're like, yeah.
The only problem with that graduate scheme you're talking about is with 30K, if you're getting paid throughout the year...
You can't afford the other five, can you?
You can't afford the five. Well, no, you're pro-rata.
You just budget. It's obscure
no, that's true.
Principle
you just
to you, but you just budget out.
That's
Trust
true.
Me, I've lived on 30 grand a year before. Not that hard.
So have I.
It's not fun. It's not fun, but it's not that hard.
Hey, look, it's not because of my dog squad money that...
Okay.
It's not one of those reasons that I'm going to be tickety-boo. But anyways, stretching ahead. So obviously we've got quite a lot to talk about and dissect from last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we can... A very brief diversion into Formula 2. Fornaroli, either the last round or the last two rounds, not quite sure.
Yeah, not quite sure, but he's going to Roden.
That's all the F2 news, and I think as we kind of touched on as well in the last episode that we actually published, there's not too much other F2 news other than that Bortoleto is a Formula 1 driver now, which also kind of makes the championship completely redundant because, all right, yeah. You know.
That's it.
I'm sure he wants to win the championship.
No, he's 100%. I was there at his place for a couple of days last week.
I'm not here to take away or raise questions about the commitment and the dedication level of Gabby Bortoleto. There's no doubt in my mind he wants to win that championship, and that is still priority number one. However, fucking pointless now, isn't it, if you're an onlooker?
Yeah, but you say that, but actually from the eyes of a racing driver and having spoken to him, he can be one of the only... other two guys who managed to win in his rookie season in F3.
That's pretty cool. And then follow it up. Yeah, so it's a good
record.
And so
he puts himself in a class where you've got Oscar Piastri and Charles Leclerc.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad fucking stat.
It's a pretty cool club.
It's not a bad club to be a part of. So, of course, I think, you know, it's been adamant for me in terms of what he's told me that he's a Formula 2 driver until Abu Dhabi Sunday night.
Mm.
And then the moment he gets out...
I was going to say, I'd say Monday morning.
Well, he's not going out, apparently, because he's got the Formula 1 test on Tuesday, you see.
Yeah, righto.
So, yeah, I think he'll be keeping it to his bedroom that evening.
No, to be fair, I actually would do as well. But, we all know that Verstappen's going to be a shell of a man on that fucking Monday morning, isn't he?
Well, he's not got to do the test on Tuesday, so I'm pretty sure he's...
Because I think he was back after championship number one, right? As we seamlessly go into Formula 1 chat. I think after championship number one, he was on the postseason test the next morning.
And I can tell you one thing. He probably didn't get quite as many good laps in as he did the weekend before.
Mate, honestly, it wouldn't shock me if his brake shape was perfect and everything was just...
Tickety-boo.
Yeah, like...
Probably.
Like he'd slept.
It's nice how you've just, you know, steam-lined into Verstappen because as we're talking about him now, he's now a four-time world champion.
He's a four-time world champion. I mean, he more or less was last time... we spoke, but he now officially he is.
He officially is.
Which, no, officially he's not until he's crowned the champions at the gala, no?
At the gala, yeah.
Love a gala.
What a gala.
Who doesn't love a gala? Actually, we were talking earlier we need to find a gala to get ourselves to because we need to get the black ties out again.
Well, mate, you know I love my tux fit.
It's been too long.
It's very sort of George Clooney-esque.
We've got a launch party for our new company tomorrow night. I genuinely thought about us two just wearing tuxedos and not telling anyone.
Not a bad idea.
It's not terrible, eh? It's not we would look idea. Like cocks, though.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So Formula 1, obviously, plenty of action at the weekend. But Max Verstappen, there you go.
Just, yeah, got it done, really, didn't he? He kind of just thumbed it in.
I tell you one thing that I'm a bit gutted about.
Sure.
Ferrari didn't get 1-2. As good as that is for Mercedes,
yeah.
If Ferrari had finished 1-2... we would have headed into the last two rounds in that sort of teams championship fight between Ferrari and McLaren much, much closer than
yeah,
it currently
true.
Is.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I remember thinking that in the build-up, I was looking at the Constructors' Championship. I was like, oh.
Because
the one that pays the money is actually now the most interesting.
Essentially, and not only that, but going into the last round, if it's very, very close, you're going to need both drivers to perform, and then you're seriously going to get proper pressure.
That's quite fun.
It is a fun thing to look at from the outside.
And if you're Lewis, let's be honest, you kind of want to finish second.
Well, yeah, of course you do. You'd want to finish second in the constructors because you get more CFD and, and more...
Can you imagine that Peps were going into Abu Dhabi, like, Lewis, we are 2 points behind. We really need you to pull it out. And then Lewis is just going to be like, yeah, sure, man. And like, just he'll just... Or he'll probably just find Verstappen and go, like, do you want to, you know, old time sake, just put each other in the wall?
Yeah. Nah, for sure. But, yeah, no, so that's pretty much all the F1 news from last weekend.
It is all the F1. So we've got a crisis. That brings us into the crisis.
Crisis? Crisis.
Yeah, sting that up.
I don't know. I really hope this is a short one. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Bird. Nice and short. Lovely stuff. Here we go. I'm going to... No condom, right? Which is a good motif, actually, as you'll find out. China facing crisis as country to lose 50 million people in population collapse.
Population collapse?
50 million.
That's the entire population of France, almost.
Is it?
It's about 60. 60 for France.
There you go. How many is America?
380.
Yeah. Okay, that is quite... Okay, so about an eighth of America.
Now, why are they losing that
one of the most populous countries in the world before it was overtaken by India last year? Interesting. Didn't know that. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. China can see its population drop further from a 2021 peak of 1.4 billion to 1.36 billion by next year, according to research from the UN. And that's pretty good research.
So we're looking at an aging population.
The Chinese government has... introduced measures to accelerate birth rate over the last decade, including revising controversial one-child policy, extending its first two and three children in 2021. I mean, look.
So we're talking aging population.
I think we are, but I think we're probably tackling a fertility issue as well.
Well, I guess you can take it from both sides.
And I think there's probably, you know, I haven't obviously had boots on the ground in China. I've spoken to a couple of people who have recently. I think there's probably a horniness deficit there as well that we should probably... look at tackling. And if I'm going to use our expertise, I would say that the horniness deficit is probably our primary market.
I have no idea where you're going with this.
Okay, so here's basically no one in China is rooting anymore.
Oh, no rooting.
Yeah.
Now, but you see.
I think it stems from the, because it's easy to ban things in China. So my, you know, the open shut door. Yeah. Adjustment to this would be like, well, let's get Durex out of there. Let's just sanction Durex from China.
I see. Now, that would be probably not great for Durex, the company.
Probably not, no.
But at the same time, it'd be great for China. It'd
be great for China.
Sort of.
And how does that, you know, for the global economy, you've got to look at the ramifications of that.
No, for sure. I mean, the thing is, people just some people are talking about, you know, one of the main reasons and the main... reason behind global warming being overpopulation, especially in second and third world countries. Not that I'm calling China one of these, because it's becoming a developed economy in the centers.
India and China pump out some pretty impressive numbers on the old global warming front.
Yeah, they're high up.
They're
there.
Up there. They're
no, not saying that the US isn't either, no. But you know, I think that you know they're contributing to global warming. So it's not necessarily a great thing to keep growing the population out there.
That's where, you know, in the back of my mind, that's where I was, in a slightly different direction, that's where I was kind of going.
But let's go back to the stats, and what the problem is the drop in population.
Yeah.
Now, that's not what we want. So we got to get people rooting.
Yeah.
Now, but how would you do that?
I think an out-and-out ban on contraception could be problematic.
Yes, very much so.
But again... you know, there's a bit of chicken and egg going on, right? Because in China, they're pretty much no porn, right? They're very hot on the internet stuff over there. They do not like
probably.
Porn.
I'm not too sure. I've never really gone to China and then on
a porn trip. Well, no, nor I. But I feel like access to information could be something that we do. Because if we just go over there, right? I think Don's over at the moment. He's talking to Ping. Old Pingy, and if we just go over there, sit down, have a sit down.
Yeah,
because if you call it a sit down, There's something about that, isn't there?
You know what I mean? For sure. It's better
Let's have a chat, meeting, conference. We'll have a sit down, you know? Oh, there's going to get some stuff done at this fucking sit down, you know? So we'll have a sit down thing and we'll just be like, mate, come on, revise the internet. Look, I'll show you my search history if you show me yours, kind of thing. And then we'll just swap notes, you know?
I don't think you'd want to show him your search history.
I think I might be banned from China, but we'll be all right, you know? We'll have an open conversation at the sit down, you know? But I think we've just got to free it up, mate. We've got to get the info out there. I don't think the Chinese probably know that they're not rooting enough. Maybe there needs to be some kind of public service announcement. Here we start a radio station in China, right? We'll need to learn Mandarin.
Yeah, it's a given.
And how many dialects are there in China? Actually, I think there's more than just Mandarin. Cantonese, quite a few. So we'll spend about 7.5 to 10 years learning all of the dialects of China. Then we start a radio station.
Yeah.
And by this point, the population might be under a billion. You know, we're going to have our work cut out for us. And basically, we've just got to really garner everyone up.
To root.
Just fucking get everyone really in the mood. You know, like exclusively Barry White.
Please.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
So if we're just like radio love Shanghai, you know, with Clem and James, that could be it. That could be it.
Radio Love.
With Clem and James.
What a show that would
be. I'd listen to that. I'd fucking listen to that.
I reckon the tunes would be banging. The people would be banging.
Too right. Too right.
And then target would be achieved.
Then next thing you know, overpopulation. There'd be also, we'd be to blame, but, you know, to thank as well.
At that point, it will be another tackle to blame.
If you're not getting busy to Radio Love with Clem and James... Barry White in the background.
What did I just say? Tackle to blame? I mean, problem to tackle.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I got lost in my own words there.
Jesus, well, I think that's the modus operandi of Radio Love. It's just got to get people completely lost in there. You know, we've got to take some efficiency away from China. You know, they're all about the efficiency, like global economic growth, but they're neglecting the population and neglecting the rooting, which is an important. Out of any culture.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And as you and I know, rooting is important.
It is massively important. So I think if we can leave it there, I think if we get ourselves over to China for a sit-down.
We've got to have the sit-down with Ping.
With Ping. Yeah. Ping on.
We'll
ping him an email.
That's it. Good pun there, brother.
Thanks.
And then we'll have the sit-down.
Yeah.
We'll start our station.
Open discussion.
During
the sit down.
During the sit down, with which at that point we will discuss the
ramifications
of a radio station. We'll then spend the next 7.5 to 10 years.
I don't think we hit him with the name out the gate.
No. Keep the name in the back pocket.
It's a little bit. It's almost reverse of if you want a dog, ask for a pony. You know, we'll just say it's going to be sexual information with Clem and James.
Kind of.
Radio Love might be a bit too jazzy to hit him with, you know, straight off the palate.
That's what I'm... Yeah. I see your point. So we do that. We pitch the radio station. We spend the next 7.5 years learning Mandarin.
So we're probably looking at around about a 12-year project before we start seeing any results out of the back of this. But
I tell you what.
Yeah.
It's better to tackle a problem than just to say, hey...
And you know what? I think this is where governments go wrong, is that they look at the re-election date. You know, they get in office and they go, right, what are we doing in 3 years? Oh, well, we'll probably be trying to get voted for again, won't we? Oh, shit, yeah. Okay, so, right, we've got a year and a half to sort some stuff out. Then we just need to worry about ourselves. Right, bugger that, especially when you're dealing with a country of China. No votes there. So, easy. You just up the guts, 12 and a half years, job done.
I agree.
Done.
Fuck. Tell you what, this was the most efficient way to solve this problem. And on top of that, we can talk about the Durex tariffs. I wouldn't go for an out-and-out ban, but I would go for a tariff.
Do you go off the top? Do you go, you know, do you almost like, you know, when they sort of bring in new regulations, like the vape ban, for example, only in June. So do you give the heads up now? Do you say, look, we're going to be getting rid of any kind of contraceptive products?
I wouldn't go full contraception. I'd just go Durex.
Just Durex. Just sort of take the key player out of the market.
Exactly.
Yep.
Then you got more market.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, we're dealing with the specific country of China. It's brand reproduction. shall we say, or copyright infringement. I don't think there's an English translation in China. So you might just get another company called Durex that starts up in China.
Possibly. But you know what? I think...
But that'd be terrible quality. There wouldn't be the same kind of R&D that original Durex has. And then... Same end goal, right?
By the way, this is not to say to any of our listeners out there that we are
encouraging unsafe sex.
Exactly. Mm. No, we encourage it.
We encourage sex.
In a particular instance of China,
we're huge encouragers of sex.
Oh, huge encouragers of sex. It needs to be.
Is that how your sex needs to be? It needs to be.
No, it needs to be protected. But in the case of China, we're dealing with a population
problem.
Yes,
indeed. Yeah.
So we've got to tackle those numbers.
We've got to unprotect. We've got to take down the safeguards, you know?
And I think that we'll probably call it a day.
We're going in circles here fast.
So, pleasure having you listeners.
Pleasure.
Listen to us. And
We'll be back. Not even next week. We'll be back on Friday.
We'll be back on Friday.
Yeah. So, sorry about the fuck around, everyone.
Sorry. But tickety-boo.
These things
and
happen.
See you later, you backbones.
Cheers, mate.